Hello and welcome to Episodio 19 de Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Hi Reza.
Hi Craig. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well.
It's good to be back again after our two-week break. I think we haven't recorded for 2 weeks.
That's right. A fortnight.
Before we start the podcast properly, I have some feedback, some news, algunos noticios. Two messages that we've received from our students. One, I don't think I have the name of the person, but the person is from Venezuela. Excelente. Estoy comenzando a escuchar sus lecciones y de verdad estoy bastante emocionado. Which means I'm very excited.
Very excited, yep.
Emotional?
Nah. Very excited, very...
Very happy.
Very happy. Could mean moved as well, but I don't think that's what she means here.
Anyway, it's lovely. Soy de Venezuela y hace algún tiempo he estado buscando una página donde practicar mi listening, ya que encontraba muchas, pero el inglés era de poca calidad y el audio no funcionaba. What a shame. Con ustedes, de verdad, comprendí casi todo. Tienen un ritmo bastante útil para la práctica. Isn't that nice?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Whoever you are, we don't know, but thank you. Also, another message from Ignacio. Hi, Reza and Craig. This is in English. Well done, Ignacio, for writing in English. I knew this amazing web 3 days ago, and I think I am improving my English. So thank you very much. Thank you, Ignacio. I understand around the 70% of the words you two use. That's good. And it makes me feel good because I have been a lot of time without listening or speaking in English with someone. Both of you have won a new fan from Cáceres. I know Reza will smile remembering old memories when he reads where I am.
Wow.
Ignacio, yeah.
I am smiling. Un abrazo para todos en Cáceres.
So thank you, Ignacio. And please keep writing, keep giving us feedback. Sigue escribiéndonos en iTunes por la web. Y al final del podcast te voy a decir cómo puedes contactar con nosotros. Gramática. We have a question from Sara, who asked us on Facebook, facebook.com/mansioningles. And Sara asked us to explain me neither, me too, and neither do I. Over to you, Reza.
Okay, can I add one to the list? If you want to know about those three, you might as well add so do I to complete the list.
So do I.
Let's begin with me too, because I think that's the easiest.
Okay.
Craig.
Yes.
Do you like biscuits?
Oh, yes, I love biscuits.
Me too. Craig likes biscuits. I like biscuits. So Craig said he likes biscuits. But it would be boring if I repeated, oh, I like biscuits. Too many words. So I just say, me too. Okay. Whatever he said, for me, it's the same. Craig, do you like the color pink?
Not really. It's not my favorite color. No, I don't like pink.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the color pink.
Do you like blue?
Yes, I do.
So do I.
Aha. We got a lot of grammar there. So Craig said he didn't like pink. Also, I don't like pink. So I agree with him, but I agree this time with a negative. He said he doesn't like pink. I agree with that negative. So this time I say me neither or me neither. There's two pronunciations of the word. Me neither is to agree with a negative. Earlier we had me too, to agree with a positive. Then Craig said, so do I. When I said, I like blue, wasn't that what I said?
I said I like blue, oh, and you said, so do I.
Oh, beg your pardon. Craig said he liked blue, I like blue, so I said, so do I. So do I means the same as me too. I could say me too, but sometimes I'll say so do I. Well, I say so do I means the same as me too, right? But you can't always say so do I. For example, Craig, have you ever visited Dublin?
Yes, I have.
So have I.
Ah, so you're repeating the auxiliary verb.
That's it.
El verbo auxiliar.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So my question to you was a present perfect. So the auxiliary verb was have. Have you ever visited Dublin? Have. He has. Me too, I agree, or I've had a similar experience. So I repeat with the word so, the auxiliary. So, have, I.
Have you ever been to Cuba?
Yes, I have.
So have I.
Okay. What about Craig? Are you going to have a cup of tea later?
Yes, I am.
So am I. This time, the auxiliary verb was the verb to be, or to be going. So, I repeat the verb to be. So do I. This time it's so am I. It can be so have I, so will I, so can I, so could I. Craig, can you swim?
Yes, I can.
So can I.
Ah, the modal verb can, you repeat. Yep.
You can repeat a modal, you can repeat the verb to be, you can repeat an auxiliary. You don't repeat the main verb, unless the main verb is the verb to be, which is a special case. You repeat the auxiliary or the modal with so to agree with something.
Aha, but what if there is no auxiliary verb? For example, what if I say, I like cheese?
Aha, there's no auxiliary. Well, you have to ask yourself, what is the auxiliary verb that you use with that tense? I like, that's present simple.
Right.
The auxiliary with the present simple is do.
Correct.
So I add, so do I. Let's do a past one. Craig, tell me what you did yesterday.
Yesterday, what was yesterday?
Yesterday was
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I worked at home.
So did I.
Okay, so you did because it's the past.
Yeah. He worked at home, I worked at home. I said, so did I. Did is the past auxiliary verb.
What did you do this morning?
I went to a meeting at the British Council.
So did I.
Mm-hmm. So went, past simple, auxiliary, did.
Did you have a good lunch?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I.
Aha! That's the final part of the jigsaw, listeners. He's agreeing with me, or he had a similar experience, but for a negative. So he could have said, me neither, yeah, but he did it the more complicated way. Neither did I. Is for negatives. It's the same as so do I, but the negative version. Now, listeners, I know what you're probably thinking. All students think this. You're thinking, it's much easier to say me too.
Me too.
Or me neither.
Yeah, yeah.
True. It is.
It's easier.
You don't have to think about the grammar.
No auxiliary verb.
Yeah.
No hay que pensar sobre el verbo auxiliar.
It doesn't matter if it's present, past, future, can. You just say me too. Mm. Or you agree with a negative, me neither. Or me neither. Yeah, you could do that. But, you know, it's boring if you always use the same vocabulary. So sometimes it's nice to use the so plus auxiliary, verb to be, so do I, so can I. Or to agree with the negative, neither do I, neither will I, neither can I. Or, and last variation, Craig, instead of the word neither, you can say nor. Let's practice. Craig, did you have a good lunch?
No, I didn't.
Nor did I.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did I equals neither did I.
Did you go out last night?
No, I didn't.
Nor did I.
Nor did I. He could have said neither do I. Sorry, no, he couldn't. He said no. He said nor did I. Past simple. He could have said neither did I. Past simple. So neither or nor do I, did I, etc. But be careful, listeners. Me neither is one thing. You cannot say me nor. We don't say that.
Ojo.
You don't say that. You can say neither do I or nor do I. But me neither, yes. Mm-hmm. Me plus nor, no.
Just one thing. You're from Belfast.
That's right.
Neither or neither. What do you say? Me neither or me neither?
Nearly everybody says neither in
really?
Belfast. Yeah. What comes more naturally to you?
Neither comes more naturally. So from London, I would say neither do I. Yeah.
But I think in the UK, you hear a mixture.
I think you do.
You hear both, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Whereas I would say in the United States, nearly everybody says neither.
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
I'm fairly sure in America, most people say neither.
But it doesn't matter. Everybody understands. Matter. Just choose one and stick to it. Sigiasi.
If you're not sure, listeners, do it the easy way and say me too, me neither, if you don't want to get your grammar wrong. But if you want to be more interesting, sometimes say so do I, neither do I, nor do I.
Yo también y yo tampoco. Moving on, yes?
Let's go.
Moving on to Vocabulary Corner. And this episode, Reza, I thought we would chat a little about shopping.
Shopping, shopping. Well, Craig, you haven't picked the best person in the world. I don't like shopping.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you like shopping for clothes?
Oh, I hate shopping for clothes. I really hate shopping for clothes.
So when do you usually buy your clothes? Do you wait for the sales, las rebajas, the sales in here in Valencia? Or do you just buy things when and as you need them?
I buy things when and as I need them. But I try to buy things when they are on sale, when I need them. I hate having to pay the full price for clothes.
Yeah.
I'm really stingy. Stingy
tacaño.
Is the same as mean. Tacaño.
Mean.
I don't like spending a lot of money on clothes.
And
what about you?
Do you have favorite shops that you go to, or doesn't matter?
For
doesn't
clothes, matter. Doesn't really matter for me.
Anyway.
What about you?
I buy some things in the sales, but I get very impatient when I look around in the sales and I can't find my size or I can't find something that I like. I enjoy shopping for clothes if I have time and money, of course. I'm going to test you on some vocabulary for clothes. Can I do that? I will say the word in English. You tell me the Spanish equivalent.
I'll try.
Price tag.
Ooh. Ooh, you started with a very difficult one.
With the meat and potatoes.
Price tag. I'm going to just guess. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Is it la etiqueta del precio?
Exactamundo. Yes, it
wow.
is. Yeah, etiqueta del precio. Price tag. What about receipt?
Recibo.
Yeah. Although, interestingly, some in Spanish, it's sometimes translated as ticket.
Yeah.
Which is ticket. Sounds very English, but we wouldn't say ticket, would we, for... The piece of paper you get when you buy something. Ticket in English would be for the bus, for the train, for a concert, for the aeroplane, for example, for the cinema.
You couldn't really translate that as the Spanish word ticket, as they say in Spanish, un ticket. When you say like a bus ticket, in Spanish that's billete.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas un ticket is a receipt.
And another thing about receipt, when you see it, the word, it's R-E-C-E-I-P-T. The pronunciation has nothing to do with the spelling. The yeah. P is silent and it's receipt. Receipt. Recibo. What about refund? The verb or the noun?
Reembolso.
Yes.
Or reembolsar, if it's a verb.
If it's a verb. The stress changes. The noun... a refund, the stress is on the second syllable. Okay. My mistake. I'm sorry. The stress is on the first syllable, refund, to ask for a refund. And if it's a verb, the spelling is the same, but change the stress to the second syllable. Please refund my money. Please give me my money back. Try it on. Phrasal verb.
Well, if you're talking about clothes,
mm-hmm.
probar, because there's another meaning of try it on.
Yeah.
Clothes, probar, mm-hmm. try on.
Try on, yeah. Try on some shoes or try some shoes on. So it's a phrasal verb that you can separate and put the object in the middle. Try a jacket on or try on a jacket. What about exchange, to exchange clothes?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Same as change.
Cambiar?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you buy a shirt, you decide you don't like it or it's the wrong size because you didn't try it on, so you take it back to the shop to exchange the jacket. In the sale?
De rebajas.
Yes, de rebajas. In the sale. So the sales, las rebajas, and in the sale, las rebajas o rebajado. Bargain.
Una ganga.
Una ganga, a bargain. It's a good price. It's a ganga, bargain. Size?
Talla.
Talla, yeah. It's my size, it's too big, it's too small, it's not my size. If something is your size, it fits you. Va bien de talla, it fits you. Correct. It's your size.
Craig, can I ask you a question? Are you the same size these days as 10 years ago?
No. And the funny thing is, I still have clothes in my wardrobe, mi armario, from 10 years ago, hoping that one day I will lose weight and they will fit me.
Craig, yeah. Me too. Me too, it's true.
I hate throwing away good clothes.
Also, it's a good objective to work towards, yeah? To see those clothes and think, okay, I can't get into them yet, but if I get rid of some of this belly fat, I will.
If you work towards it, yeah. If you work towards it, it's a good idea. And when you buy something and you say, I'll take it. How would you say that in Spanish? Take I'll take it.
Sí, me lo compro.
Me lo compro. Me lo llevo.
Me lo lleva. That's better, isn't it? Me lo llevo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
I'll take it. Changing rooms.
Probadores.
Very good.
Because it's a place where you try on, which is probar. Mm-hmm. So probadores in Spanish.
Label.
Etiqueta.
Yeah. So the label on your clothes, the label, the designer label, for example.
Craig, what about the English word etiquette? It's a false friend.
It is, isn't it? I never thought about that before. Etiquette. Dining etiquette. Behavioral, yeah. How you should behave.
Yeah.
Como te comportas.
It's nothing to do with labels, is it?
No.
In English, the word etiquette is like the correct way of doing things, isn't it?
Higher society, behavioral rules. Interesting. Finally, to suit. It suits you.
It suits you?
It suits you, sir.
Te va bien o te pega.
Yeah. Te sienta bien. That's it. That's all I have for vocabulary. Any phrasal verbs this week?
Yes, to bring up and to go off. Aha. Which one do you want to do first?
To bring up.
Okay, I'm glad you brought phrasal verbs up, Craig. So to bring something
up. So am I.
To bring something up can be to mention a topic, a theme, an issue, to bring something up. I'm glad Craig brought up phrasal verbs. He mentioned the topic of phrasal verbs.
Mencionar.
He brought them up.
Mencionar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Craig, where were you brought up?
I was brought up in London by my parents.
No, I was brought up in Belfast. In other words, that's where we spent our childhood. We were children there when our parents were looking after us.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents brought us up, or we were brought up by our parents.
Okay, so it's not the same as grow up.
No, you grew up in London. Your parents brought you up in London.
So to bring up means educate as well, and mm-hmm. grow up is physically to get bigger?
Not necessarily. Can be. I mean, when you're getting older, you are getting bigger, but I think it refers to your your maturity as well, your mental maturity. It's both.
Yes.
But for me, it's easier just to think of you grew up, but your parents brought you up.
Okay. Okay.
Although bring up can be passive, it often is. So you could say you were brought up by your parents.
Yep.
But they brought you up. They are the ones who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you grew up.
That's interesting. I never realized that before, that mm-hmm. brought up is more passive by somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, to grow up cannot have an object, right? I grew up.
Right.
You can't say I grew up something, I grew up myself. No, just I grew up in London, but I grew up, there's no object.
Okay.
Whereas my parents brought me up. Me is the object.
There's an object.
But we often make it passive and say, I was brought up in London. We don't even mention parents because it's obvious they did it. Unless you have some special circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
In most people's case, parents bring them up. So they say, I was brought up in London. I suppose your parents brought you up. If they didn't, then you would say, for example, I was brought up in London by a group of circus performers, for example.
Or John Lennon. John Lennon was brought up by his aunt in Liverpool.
That's right. It wasn't his mum. So you would mention that. Hmm. But if it's your mum and dad or one of your parents, you don't usually even say it because it's understood.
Right.
If it's passive, mm-hmm. I was brought up.
Are there any other uses of to bring up?
Well, you brought up the topic of phrasal verbs. That's to mention. Bring up what parents do to their children. To bring something up can mean to take it to another place. For example, I'm going to bed now. Can you bring up the newspaper when you finish reading it?
Oh, so that's physically take something from one place further up.
Yep, to another place, which is physically higher up.
Yep.
Yep.
Can you bring me up a cup of tea? Take a cup of tea up to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can also mean vomitar. You can bring up your food.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I brought up my breakfast when I was
vomited your breakfast. Vomitar. That's right.
Yeah.
It is.
Any others? I think that's it for bring up. What about to go off?
Well, we live in Valencia. It can be very hot in Valencia. You have to be careful with food. If it's a very hot day, food can go off
mm-hmm.
if you don't keep it in the fridge.
Estropear.
Yeah.
Estropear?
Yeah. Well, estropearse.
Estropearse.
Reflexive.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it's very hot today. Put the fish in the fridge or it'll go off.
Mm-hmm.
Put the fish in the fridge or it'll go off would be pon o deposita el pescado en el frigorifico. Si no, se estropeará. It'll go off. It'll become bad. The quality will deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
Another one could be a classic excuse when people are late for class. They say, oh, I'm really sorry I'm late for class this morning. My alarm clock didn't go off this morning.
That's right. Alarms go off. Fire alarms go off. Burglar alarms go off. And your alarm clock goes off in the morning. Sonar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when some piece of equipment activates, it goes off.
What time did your alarm clock go off this morning?
It went off quite late this morning at 9 o'clock.
Do you use an alarm clock? You do?
Oh, I do, yeah. Yeah. Except sometimes on a Sunday morning when I don't have to get up early, I deliberately don't set my alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
To set it means to get it ready to go off.
Right.
I don't set it. What about you? Do you set an alarm clock for Sunday morning?
Never on Sundays, but this morning I set my alarm for 7:15 because I wanted to get up early. It went off.
Mm-hmm. And did you get up immediately when it went off?
I turned it off and I went back to sleep for another half an hour.
Aha. Do you have snooze function on your alarm clock?
No, I don't. I just turn it off.
Oh, right. I turn it off old-fashioned way.
And then just go back to sleep.
Okay. Snooze function. To snooze is to sleep lightly for not very long. So if you see snooze on an alarm clock, it means if you hit that button, the alarm will stop and then it will go off again, let's say 10 minutes later.
There's an expression that I really like in English. If you snooze, you lose.
Snooze, you lose.
You snooze, you lose. If you hesitate, if you don't do something quickly, then you disappear to this.
Another thing that can go off, we mentioned alarm clocks, you mentioned fire alarms. Bombs go off.
Correct.
When a bomb explodes, it goes off. Mm-hmm. You might hear in the news, for example, there has been a terrorist attack today in the city. Five bombs went off. At 7 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
They went off. They exploded.
A lot of bombs used to go off in Belfast. Luckily, not anymore.
That's why I brought up the word, because we're very familiar with it in Belfast. Very familiar.
Bombs going off.
There's another meaning of go off. I don't know where Christine is. She got up really early and then went off on her bike. To go off, she went off is the past.
So how would you
she has gone somewhere away from here. Mm-hmm. I don't know where. That's to go off.
Se ido.
Yep, se ido. She's not here. She went to another place.
She's gone off. Thank you very much, Reza. Well, that's all we have time for this episode. So remember, feel free to send us an email or a sound file. Mensaje de voz en MP3 with a comment or a question or anything you would like us to speak about, and send your comments and questions to craig@inglespodcast.com. That's craig@inglespodcast.com, or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. belfastreza@gmail.com.
I prefer the he-mail.
It's
like I'm a extra masculine. I'm a male and I'm he-mail.
You're not a she-mail.
Not a she-mail. No, thank you.
You're a he-mail.
He-mail. Man's man.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The music in this podcast is by Pix. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org.